You know, the past several weeks we've been looking at miracles that Jesus performed, and we've been expecting miracles, right? That's been something that's kind of been the thing that we've, a theme, I feel like, that maybe we've been looking for and praying and asking God to do for several years now, is that God would show up and perform signs and wonders and perform miracles in this house. It's been something that's been prophesied over this house. It's been something that we've looked for. But in order to see those things happen, we have to talk about them, right? And so we've been looking at what Jesus, the miracles that Jesus performed. Because in John 14, he says that, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father." And we can't know what he did, and we can't know that we're doing greater unless we know what he did, right? And so we've been looking at those, and we started in Matthew chapter 8, and we moved through the miracles of Matthew chapter 8, and we looked at Jesus freeing the guy from the legion of demons, and how the people lost their mind and ran Jesus off. And we talked about the rooftop faith, where they cut a hole and lowered the man down in front of Jesus. And I mean, not only the faith of them lowering their friend, but cutting a hole in somebody's roof, right? That took some faith. We talked last week, we looked at the story of Jairus' daughter and what God did in her life, and we looked at the woman with the issue of blood, and we talked about how Jesus moved in their lives and changed things. And so we're moving on in chapter 9 of Matthew, and we're going to do something a little bit different today, but Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to start. There's a couple things that happen in Matthew chapter 9 that could be paralleled with another passage in Matthew. And so we're going to look at both of those. But in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "After Jesus left the girl's home," meaning Jairus' home, "two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And they went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, 'Do you believe I can make you see?' 'Yes, Lord,' they told him, 'we do.' And then he touched their eyes and said, 'Because of your faith, it will happen.' And then their eyes were opened and they could see. And Jesus sternly warned them, 'Don't tell anyone about this.' But instead they went out and spread his fame all over the region. And when they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak, and the crowds were amazed. 'And nothing like this has ever happened in Israel,' they exclaimed." And Matthew is the only place that these two little miracles, these two miracles are recorded. It's the only place. They're not recorded in Mark, not in Luke, not in John. John doesn't record hardly any of the ones that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. I just think he just wanted to be different. But there were some similarities as I was reading this. My mind immediately went to Matthew chapter 20. A story that is recorded in Mark and Luke. And it's 90 miles away from where this happened in Capernaum, in Jericho. There's this recorded miracle of these blind men who come to Jesus saying the same thing that these blind men said. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind them. And two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' 'Be quiet,' the crowd yelled at them, but they only shouted louder, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when Jesus heard them, he stopped and called, 'What do you want to do? What do you want me to do for you?' 'Lord,' they said, 'we want to see.' And Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes, and instantly they could see. And they followed him." In both of these passages, the blind men were using the phrase, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And this points to the fact that these blind men believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Both passages, they're crying out for mercy. In both passages, they want to see. In both passages, Jesus touches their eyes and heals them. But when I read these passages, there's something different that happens. And when you go on and you read Mark's recording of this, and you read Luke's recording of this particular one, they go a little bit deeper. And we've talked about this, that Matthew is a cut and dry guy. He just says what he needs to say, and that's it. No extra, no fluff, that's it. He says it, and that's it. But in Mark and Luke, they talk about this one right here in Matthew chapter 20. And in Mark, names him by name. And I'll be honest with you, the story of Bartimaeus is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. I've referenced this passage a lot. I've talked about it, I've preached on it. In the last several years, I've talked about it a whole lot. Because something happened a few years ago when I was reading this passage that changed the way that I looked at it. And so I've talked about it a whole lot. But in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, "Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus' disciples left town, a large crowd followed them. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And the crowd are telling him to be quiet, and they yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And when Jesus heard him, he stopped him and said, 'Tell him to come here.' So they called the blind man. 'Cheer up,' they said. 'Come on, he's calling for you.' And Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. And he said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go, for your faith has healed you.' And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road." I have images of Bartimaeus. I've imagined how he looked when he was sitting on the side of the road. I have thought about this and how he was sitting there when Jesus was coming by. He was sitting on one of the main roads in Israel, one of the most traveled roads. It was a road that people traveled daily, all hours of the day. He was in a prime location. He was at the top exit for the city, right? You know panhandlers, you know they want the top exit. There's one. They fight over it. You never have been to the big city for much of any time, I can tell you they do. They want the best exit, right? And so he's got the best spot. He's heard, there's no doubt, because it's the road that he was sitting on, he's heard stories about Jesus. He probably heard about the man with the legion of demons that was set free. There's no doubt that he heard about Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. He most likely has heard about Jesus healing the other blind guys in Capernaum. So he knows that Jesus is capable of healing him. And when everyone else was saying, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming," Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, Son of David, is coming." Pointing to the fact that even then, before he could see, he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Verse 47 says, "When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' 'Be quiet,' many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" You know, we always call him blind Bartimaeus, but he's not blind anymore, so we're not going to call him that today. All right. Bartimaeus was persistent. He didn't give up. The more the people tried to quiet him, the louder he became. He was determined to get an audience with Jesus. He was determined for him to hear him. He was determined to meet him face to face. Have you ever felt like the more that you tried to do something, the more resistance you got, especially when it comes to doing something for God? The local people, they saw Bartimaeus every day. They may have thrown a coin or two over the years. Maybe they gave him a little fish or some bread. But they were not going to help him get ahead. They saw him and they might want to have a little bit of compassion on him, but they weren't going to help him get anywhere. They saw him and they saw what he was doing and they heard him crying out to Jesus. But no one, Zach, no one said, "Hey, let's help you get over there." Instead, they said, "Shut up, be quiet. He doesn't want to hear from you." Way to kick a man when he's down, right? We're not helping you get to him. He's got better things to do. He's going to heal me and not you. Maybe they didn't say that. But nobody helped him. You can't prove that they didn't say that. So it happened. Right? Sometimes it can feel like the people closest to us are the ones that hold us back the most. The one that hinders us the most. Here Bartimaeus is calling out to Jesus because he says, hey, this guy may be able to change my life forever. He may be able to give me my sight. And the people are telling him to be quiet. He got louder and louder because the more they told him to be quiet, the more he said, I have to see him. Verse 49 says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man, cheer up. They said, come on, he's calling for you. I like the way the message reads. It says, Jesus stopped in his tracks, called him over, and they called him and said, it's your lucky day. Get up. He's calling for you to come. I like that part. It's your lucky day. Your luck has just come up. He's calling your name. He wants to know what you want. He heard you crying, even though we've tried to silence you, even though we've told you to be quiet, even though other people have told you you'll never make it. He heard you, and it's your lucky day. He finally got loud enough, desperate enough, that Jesus responded to him. I'm not saying this morning that you have to yell to get his attention, but it's not going to hurt his feelings if you do. But in this story, Bartimaeus was crying out loudly, and Jesus calls him to come to him. And Bartimaeus's world is about to change. It's about to change forever. This isn't just a guy that will throw that's going to throw a quarter in his cup. This is a guy who can give him sight. This guy can change his life forever. That guy, Jesus, can change everything for Bartimaeus. It truly was his lucky day. Maybe some of you this morning need Jesus to show up in a situation in your life or a circumstance that you need Jesus to show up in. It could be your lucky day today. He's in this place, and I believe he wants to change your life. Look what Bartimaeus does. When Jesus calls for him, verse 50 says, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Some versions say his cloak, some say his coat. This verse, though, is maybe my favorite part of this whole passage. For years, I would read this passage and I would read this verse and I would just read past it. Big deal, he threw off his coat. Who cares? But there's something there. There's a reason that things are in the Bible. And so I wanted to know what the reason was that it said that. Why does Mark make a point of putting that he threw off his cloak? He throws off his coat or his cloak, as some version reads, and we can skip over it, and no big deal, but there's a reason. There's a reason that he put this here. In the first century, a beggar's cloak was more than clothing. It had a special symbol on it. It was marked. It was a certain color. And only people that could have it were beggars that were assigned as beggars by the government. This wasn't just anyone could have these coats. They had to prove that it was kind of like being disabled and getting a disability check. A little bit harder than it is today. Because I feel like we'll move on. But it was a status symbol. His coat was his identity. It was his security. It identified him as a legitimate beggar, almost like a license. It was a scarlet, as the scarlet letter would read, it was the red A. It marked him as what he was and who he was. It showed people they recognized his cloak as a sign of his poverty and his blindness. It was also his security blanket. It's his protection against the weather. It was his bed at night, and possibly even where people tossed coins for him. By throwing it aside, Bartimaeus was leaving behind the very thing that defined him as a beggar. Throwing off the cloak was an act of faith and expectation. He believed that Jesus was about to change his situation, so he cast off the one thing he had relied on for survival. He was about to change what he relied on. In that moment, he said, I've relied on this jacket long enough. I've relied on this coat long enough. I am expecting something different to happen. I want to start relying on Jesus. I want to start relying on what he's about to tell me. He wasn't planning on going back and picking it up, by the way. He's blind. And he didn't just take it off and set it on the curb. It says that he threw it off. And he was blind. It's not like he can go find it. Everything that he knew was about to change. He wasn't planning on coming back for it. By throwing it, he was saying, I won't need this anymore. My life is about to change. What do you need to throw off today? What is it that you're carrying around that you need to throw off today? When he threw that cloak off, it showed urgency and abandonment. He didn't slowly take it off and fold it up and keep it nearby. He threw it aside and jumped to his feet. Showed eagerness and desperation for Jesus. Nothing was going to slow him down or hold him back. The coat represented his old life of blindness, begging, and dependency. When he cast it off, he was leaving behind the old identity and to step into a new one with Jesus. Throwing off the cloak was a picture of repentance, faith, and transformation. Throwing it aside was a prophetic act of leaving behind the old to step into the new. It wasn't just he took off his cloak. No. There was more to it than that. I have a feeling this morning that there are some of you that have been wearing a cloak, and you've held on to that cloak for a long time. And you've held on to it and you've wore it and it's become your identity. And people know you as it. Some people have even said it. They might not say it to your face, but they say it behind your back. And that cloak has become who they think you are. And it's time that you shed that cloak. Some of you have been coming to church and you've been in church for a long time and you're still wearing a cloak. Because you're not willing to let it go. We all wear cloaks from time to time. And some of us have worn them for a long time. You got bitter, you've got angry over something, and you're still wearing the cloak. Someone hurt you, and you're still wearing the cloak. You say with your mouth, I've forgiven them, but in your heart, you haven't. You have a dependency on something, and you say that you want to get rid of it, and you say with your mouth, I want to get rid of it, but you go right back to the store and buy it again. You have to make a choice. You have to live out what God is asking you to live out. You can't just say, I want to do this and not take action. You can't just give it lip service. You can't say, I'm not mad at that person, but every time you see them, you avoid them and go the other direction. I can tell you there are some people that I don't like. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I don't like them. I'm not mad at them, but I don't really want to be around them either. That's a different thing. I don't really care. I just don't like being around them. But some of y'all do that because you're mad at that person because 20 years ago they sat in your seat at church and you're still mad about it. Or 50 years ago they stole your girlfriend and you should be thanking them for doing that. but you're still mad at them. You're still carrying it around because they ran over your dog on accident because it was playing out in the highway. That's the dog's fault. We'll move on. Y'all get the point. Some of y'all didn't, though. That's the sad part, is some of you didn't get the point. Because you're still going to leave this place wearing the cloak that you came in here with. Because you're not willing to throw it off. Verse 51 says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Now this, Jesus asks people this question all the time. And I'm like, what do you think the guy wants? He's blind. He can't see. What do you think he wants? A scooter? Come on. He said, "Rabbi, I want to see. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus knew he was blind, but he still asked him because faith requires a specific request and expectation. I've been saying all year long and that when we pray, we need to be specific about what we're praying for. If we're expecting God to answer prayers, we can't pray big, broad prayers and say, "Well, I don't know if he answered it or not." I've been in services, and I'm pleased. Stay with me for a minute because I'm probably going to make some of you mad, but that's okay. It aggravates me when people get up and they're saying, "There's someone in this room that's been having back pain, and they've been having back pain since they were 10 years old, or you've had back pain in the last year." Well, everybody in this room has had back pain in the last year. That's so broad. Let's be specific. What's God really speaking? I'm not saying that those guys aren't being used by God, and I'm not saying that some of you may have not been touched by God using someone like that. But I'm like, man, God is more specific than that. He's more specific than someone in this room that had a back pain in the last year. Raise your hand, everybody. Let's be specific about it. I mean, it makes no sense that Jesus would get in a boat and go all the way across the lake to find one man that was having a problem, for then just come into a building and say, "Someone in this room that's been having back pain this year." Come on. There's more specific than that. And please don't misunderstand me and think that I'm saying that people who do that are not being used by God. I don't believe that, but I also know that God is more specific than that. And sometimes we as preachers miss it. I've missed it. I know that. Bartimaeus didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for food. He didn't ask for sympathy. He said, "I want to see." We can't be afraid to ask Jesus for the miracle we really need. Can't be afraid to ask that. What is the miracle that you really need? What is it that you really need God to do? I remember praying for a guy when I was an evangelist, and he said, "I need God to show up because I need to get my disability check." And I said, "No, you need God to heal you." Let's pray for what really needs to happen. But we don't want to do that, because I had another guy one time that said, "I want God to heal me, but not enough that I'll lose my disability." I just said, "I'm not praying for you," and I walked away. Don't ask me to do that. That's silly. Nowhere in the Bible does God halfway heal somebody. The only place we see it in Scripture, it was a continuous work right while he was standing there. He said, "Okay, let me spit and make some mud and rub it on your eyes. Now can you see? No, it looks like trees. Okay, let me do it again." And then he said clearly, nowhere does it say, well, he only halfway healed him. That guy that he told to pick up his mat, he told him to pick up his mat, but only one leg worked. No. No. He can't. We can't be afraid, though, to ask God for the miracle we really need. When he asks you, "What do you want?" you don't say, "Well, maybe this." If someone asks me what I really want, I'm probably going to tell them. I mean, if they're being serious, I'm not going to hold back. If I couldn't see and Jesus said, what do you want? I'm going to ask to see. Verse 52 said, and Jesus said to him, come, for your faith has healed you. Go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Jesus looks at Bartimaeus and he says, your faith has healed you. And instantly Bartimaeus could see. Why was he healed? Why was he healed? Jesus linked the miracle of the healing to Bartimaeus' faith. Was it the faith that he asked him to see? That wasn't where it was. The faith in this whole story was the moment that he threw off the cloak. The faith in the whole story was where he threw off his cloak, the identity, his security, and everything that he relied on. That was the moment. That was the moment that faith began. It was there that the faith that healed him started. Faith is not believing Jesus can. It's acting as if he will. We can believe that Jesus can, but if we don't take any action on our part, what does it prove? Nothing. The reason that Bartimaeus threw off the coat before he could see was he was acting on faith that it would happen. Bartimaeus didn't just receive sight. He followed Jesus down the road. He received more than just sight that day. The miracle wasn't the end of the story. It was the beginning. He went from sitting by the road to walking with Jesus on the road. And it all started with the moment that it says in verse 50 that Bartimaeus threw aside the coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. That was the moment that everything began. That was the moment that things started. That was the moment that something new began to happen. Blind faith. He threw the cloak, jumped to his feet, believing for something new. You can't expect to change your life. You can't expect him to change your life if you're not willing to take the first step. If you have something that you're carrying, maybe it's time for you to sling the cloak. Maybe it's time that you throw it off, that you don't, and you don't go looking for it again. No person has ever left an addiction and continue to buy what they're addicted to. I understand that addiction is tough. I've been there. But you'll never get free if you keep partaking in it. You have to take the first step of getting rid of it. Sometimes to receive what Jesus has for us, we have to be willing to throw off the very things that wants to find us. Our security, our old identity, even the labels that others have placed on us. Bartimaeus didn't just ask for sight. He demonstrated faith by casting aside the only thing he had left and expecting Jesus to give him a whole new life. What cloak are you still carrying today? What coat has become your identity? What label have people tagged you with? What do you need thrown off today? Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you for what you're doing in this house, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for moving and touching and healing, God. Today, I just pray that you begin to set some people free. Lord, today I pray that you begin to give strength to people to throw off the cloak. To get rid of it. Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be that's holding them back. Whatever it may be that they need a miracle in their life. And that's the cloak that they need to throw. Lord, I pray that you do it today. I pray that you do it today. That you move in this house. Maybe you're here and you've got something going on. Maybe you need God to heal you. Maybe you've been wearing a cloak of sickness. Maybe you've been holding a cloak of disease. And today you say, I need God to heal me. I need a miracle. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. But maybe this morning you've been holding some addiction. Maybe you've been holding something that some drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it may be. And you've been battling with an addiction and you say, today I'm ready to throw this cloak. I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for freedom. I want to invite you to come. Maybe you've been carrying the cloak of bitterness and hatred and hurt. You say, I just need God to help me today. I want to invite you to come. It doesn't matter what the cloak is. It doesn't matter what you're carrying around. He can move in your life if you will allow Him to. But you've got to take the first step. What are you carrying today that you need to leave at the altar and not pick up again? What baggage have you been carrying around? What burdens have you been carrying? What pain have you been holding on to? I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you and believe with you that God will help you. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that responded and ones that are still at their seats. And Lord, I just pray that today that you begin to move and you begin to touch and you begin to heal, God. I pray that today something changes in their lives, Lord. I pray that today that we drop the cloaks not to pick them up again. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you today. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so.